The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's MILF, which is mom, and GILF, which is grandma.
Could it be grandpa?
I'm in charge of the two.
Gabe, you're in charge. They kind of leave. I'm done.
I think you can leave.
I'm talking about alcohol, liquor, the good stuff.
All right. I got some scotch.
Single malt.
Aged 18 years. The way I like it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The actress who played Stifler's mom, Jennifer Coolidge, she said that because of that, she slept with more than 200 people following the Stifler's mom role because everybody wanted to hang out with the MILF.
Is that a brag?
So, would you object if I said that you were quite striking?
Mr. Finch, are you trying to seduce me?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's
good morning, good morning, good morning. Pretty big weekend for the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy gang. But mostly the one person that's not actually mentioned in the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy title, Ashton.
Hi.
Little Rot's Hots debut. How did it go?
It was exhilarating. It was exhausting. It was emotional. It was friggin' awesome overall.
Ooh, that sounds like a good movie review, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you get over your cramps?
No, I'm pretty sure I was dehydrated all day. So, you know, just cramps all day.
Where?
Cramps and crying, you know. Usually go together.
You should get him one of your Mia's? Hydration bottles there. Give him 100 ounces of fluid and
he'll
be fine.
Here's what I think happened. So it was like 90-something degrees out Saturday. We're
it
in the truck.
Hot.
We're cooking, sweating my ass off all day, which was great and it was fantastic. I usually drink like 150 to 200 ounces of water a day at least.
You're a liar.
I swear I do. I think I had maybe 50 ounces of water all day Saturday. So I'm pretty sure my body was like, there's something going on. I'm going to make you regret this. And then it did.
Okay, I love the adjectives that you use to describe this experience. So for those who don't know, you've got a food truck now, and you were down in Round Lake Beach, and it was the Rot's Hots food truck debut. I saw Gabe Neitzel went down there. Gabe, you made a little trip down to Round Lake Beach to support Ashy. So the adjectives are great, but I want to take me into the moment. I want to know, you open up the window, you got the truck parked there, you got, I guess the first person was Gabe Neitzel, is
first
that how it went?
Gabe was there like 9:55, and I saw him like, oh God. I kept asking, Are we ready? Nobody else was ready. I was in front of the grill. I was ready to roll. I was like, let's do this thing. We put the awning was up, the grill's on, the stove's on. We've got things boiling, ready to go. We got things steaming. I'm ready to put the onions on the griddle top. I'm ready to go. I got the POS system all set up. I'm training people on the fly. I'm like, let's do this thing.
What is the POS system? I mean, I know a
piece of sugar.
Point of sale? not piece of ass.
I figured that it wasn't what Chewy thought it was.
And then how was the wedding?
Yes, because he was the only one who thought it was.
Before Gabe Neitzel gives his official review of the Rot's Hots experience, Ashy, what did you learn from the very first time, right? Because here's what happens. You go in thinking you know all of the things, and then either something happens, or you're like, ooh, let's not do that anymore that way. So what was the thing you walked away from after the first time with the Rot's Hots food truck experience?
The biggest thing from day one was efficiency. Not that we weren't efficient, but I think we could have been way more efficient on certain things. And we learned that throughout the day from about 10 to the event was 10 to 2. From about 10 to 11, we had maybe a dozen or less people come by. Who's eating hot dogs at 10 a.m. aside from Gabe and me, really? Like, who's eating hot dogs that early?
I would.
But once, all right.
Ooh, but maybe a breakfast hot dog.
Yeah.
We've had ideas. Don't worry. I have so many ideas. The problem is, I kept saying, I just want to get one under my belt before I go nuts. Which, so then now we're going to go nuts. We got one under the belt. But from noon to two, the or from 11 to 2, it was a constant line throughout the rest of the day, which was awesome.
That sounds like a
success. So I think just efficiency for the most part is the only thing.
Being able to get the dogs out a little bit faster, getting able to get food out a little faster.
And yeah, you know, like if you're a line cook, you know, there's certain ways that you want to do stuff. You know, who's doing the prep versus who's doing the meats versus, you know, where do you meet in the middle? Who's plating everything up? Who's getting it out? So it was more like, you know, let's figure out the best way to do it with however many people are in the truck.
Who's doing the meats?
Yeah, you know, who's got the meats? Who's got the meats?
Gabe, your official review of your Rotts Hots experience. First customer in line. I assume you got the best one because it was right, you know, right there, the first one off.
So me and my wife went down. I decided to go with, you know, it's Rotts Hots, right? So I had to go with the traditional Rot Dog, which is kind of Ashton's take on a Chicago dog.
Yeah, there's a couple little differences.
You know, instead of sport peppers, it's the banana peppers. It's a, you know, more of a bigger pickle slice than what you typically would get on a Chicago
spear,
dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On rot sauce and mustard.
The rot dog was fantastic. So the cheesiest Maximus, which is what my wife got, which was the grilled cheese, her review. So the biggest review that my wife has ever given anything is that, it was good. That's good. Like anything. Everything's either fine or good.
Okay.
This was really good.
Okay.
That's what she said. She's like, what do you think your cheesy smell? This is really good. This is like the first time I think I've ever heard her say the word really.
The proprietary Ashton's caramelized onion cheese spread that goes on it with the cheese. And then we put it on the flat top. I think that helps it. You got the marinara dipping sauce on the side.
Wait, what is a flat top?
That's like a griddle top. Yeah.
Flat top
grill
for cooking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Again,
what are you thinking? Are you giving out haircuts too?
Have a dog and a haircut. We got flat tops over
That's
here.
That's going next year.
Were you hungover from the wedding? I heard there was some drama at the wedding.
There was no drama at the wedding. It was a lovely wedding. I had a wonderful time. I decided to stop drinking at, 9 o'clock, 9:30 maybe, to be a bit of an adult. And then at 10:55, I was in my Uber on the way home.
Why are these guys just so scared?
I was on the way
home,
and it was
literally
great.
I don't think it's scared.
It was fantastic.
I think they're being respectful.
It was a great wedding. I love Brian and Shawnee. I'm just going to keep talking until Chewy stops.
It's overrated. So Brian and Shawnee are on their honeymoon now. Apparently Shawnee's sending out like good morning text to your group text like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, we're getting some lovely pictures. Lovely pictures. It looks like, I don't know if this is like an island or if it just looks like a volcano.
Those are two very different things.
I believe that's Pompeii. Yeah, it used to be a volcano. I think it still is a volcano.
So anytime someone mentions a volcano, you just assume Pompeii?
Well, they're in Italy.
How
many volcanoes are there in Italy?
There's other volcanoes. Mount Etna, I believe, is a volcano there as well, but could be, you know, Pompeii sounds good. Let's just go with the one there.
There are three active volcanoes in Italy. Vesuvius and Mount Etna in Sicily are the...
So Vesuvius is Pompeii.
Yes.
Pompeii was the city.
City that got worked.
Yeah. Look at us.
City that got worked. I think there's a better way to describe the events that happened.
I love it. Put it in the books.
They got worked over like they're the Citadel going to play Alabama.
You flip to the section about Pompeii. Let's see what happened here. Oh, Pompeii got worked. All right, let's get to our ones and twos.
After every game, there's always a winner. Champions, my friend. And a loser.
We hate losers, don't we? They don't even deserve to live.
It's time for the number ones.
Always remember, you ain't first, last.
And the number twos.
Did you just soil yourself?
Maybe. Okay, I might as well beat you guys to it. It's a two. Brewers are 1-5 since the Hader trade.
Oh, even Stink would say that stinks.
Two very, very subpar baseball teams. Feeling anything yet there, Gabe?
No.
Nothing wrong in the clubhouse?
It's a bad week of baseball. They had a worse week of baseball earlier this season. They lost like 8 in a row.
These games are
like
bad,
2 weeks of baseball.
But these aren't losses. These are like, what the hell? Wheels come off. Burns looks good. And all of a sudden, I don't know. I think there's a little bit of mojo that's off.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Mike Brasso was fielding that grounder at third in the 10th last night, he decided, we traded a hitter, got to throw it away. I think that's what happened. I think I heard him yell it. as he threw the ball.
Yeah, they're all just over there doing the thing from Shawshank Redemption. I just miss my friend. Like you're professionals. You're professional athletes. I'm not going to give you this excuse of it messed up the mojo, it messed up the chemistry. Figure it out. I agree with you, Gabe. I don't think that it's a big deal. I think, like I said to you guys on Friday, I should rattle off, here was a 5-game losing streak. Here was a 5-game losing streak. Here was a 4-game losing streak last season. Went back the previous year. I told you guys we don't count 2020 because that was such an anomaly of a year, but go back to 2019. 4-game losing streak. 4-game losing streak. 5-game losing streak. It happens in baseball. It's bad timing. That's what I think. But we are going to hear from Mark Adonazio a little bit later in the show. We're going to
see what he thinks.
See what he thinks, Gabe.
I've got a number one. I thought this was the one you were going to beat us to. How about your guy?
Who?
Leroy.
We're number one.
You forgot.
I didn't. In the moment, I did. Yeah, that's a good number one.
Yeah, Leroy, NFL Hall of Fame, really good speeches. There was no real headliner, I would say. Yeah, obviously, these guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but it was a handful of guys that really waited a while to get in. You know, Sam Mills, obviously, he passed away in 2005, but he had been retired for a while. Bryant Young has been out of the league since 2007. Leroy since 2001. And Dick Vermeil's been out of the league for a while. So a lot of these guys weren't necessarily first, second ballot Hall of Famers, guys that had to wait a while to get in, and they all gave fantastic speeches on Saturday in Canton, Ohio.
Get us your ones and twos this morning, 800-990-3776. The ones are the good things, the things you like, the things that made you smile. The twos, well, not so good. Bad things. Things that you wish maybe wouldn't have happened. I got another number one for you. Sue Bird regular season finale in Seattle yesterday, guys.
We're number one!
A lot of touching moments coming out of that game. More than 18,000 people showed up at the arena to send her off in her final regular season game. She's 41 years old. She's been a part of the Seattle team since she was drafted number one overall back in 2002. She is, like, I think, the face, you know, in addition to like the Deanna Taurasis and stuff like that, the face of the WNBA. She's won 4 WNBA championships all in different decades, and she did decide that she is retiring at the end of this year. Now there are still the WNBA playoffs, so you can still watch Sue Bird, but this is the changing of the guard, essentially, in the WNBA. For so long, she was the face of this league, along with Taurasi, and it just feels really cool to see her honored that way. It was Sue Bird Day in Seattle, so all of the pomp and circumstances surrounding just another fantastic generational player in sports.
I have a number one, Packers family night. I heard the fireworks were outstanding. That's about all that mattered.
And then?
You know what I was looking at? I was skimming things. You know, Samori Tor had a nice game, they say. Is
say that
how
again?
You say it? I don't know. It's Monday.
He was close enough. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty proud of him.
Just missed one syllable.
Is it Tori?
Hunter?
No.
Birch.
Romeo Doubs. Big name, I guess, and can't play pretty well. I tried to find something on the tight ends and found absolutely nothing.
Well, what were you expecting to find on the tight ends?
A heartbeat?
Eight catches, 120, two touchdowns.
They didn't play a game, Jew.
He's looking for a box score that doesn't exist for a game that never happened.
Yeah, it was. I didn't watch any. I let you guys down. I said I was going to do the show prep, but it was just so painful to watch. I know.
That was going to do this for us.
He lined up to block and said, "Olé."
I did. I've done that before. That's actually a very effective block.
The lookout block?
No, the Olé. You get a D lineman. I did it. Would do it with Spielman.
Chris Spielman?
Rick? No, the other one with the Bears.
Rick?
No. What was his name? Spellman.
Steven.
Alonzo Spellman. You guys. All right.
Nothing
Saturday mornings,
Chewy.
We're going to start having a history.
Nothing bothers Chewy more than when
lesson.
He throws out a name he's not sure of, and we cannot tell him who the person he can't think of is.
This is because, the 90s.
Because 90% of the time, he says the name wrong, and then we somehow guess correct. But the 10% that he actually gets it right, he gets so upset.
Yeah, because he's trained us in Chewies.
So the Olé block, you'd get him so mad at you. That he'd fire out at you, and then you just jump to the sign and hit him on the back as he goes, and he slides in.
All right,
third.
I'll give you this, Chewy. I'll give you this. All right, Robert Tunyon was on a podcast this past weekend, and apparently he got people real fired up because it looks like he is just like chomping at the bit to come back. Talking about how people forget how good he was and all that stuff, and how he's ready to basically run through a wall, essentially. So there is some of that out there. There's some of the. Tunyon is ready to go just as soon as he can come back from that ACL
but
injury.
But back in the day, you could essentially release yourself to play. I don't think he can do that anymore. The doctors take total control, and he's not going to come back until they say he's ready.
But it'll probably be on the normal timeline, right? Like I think the David Bakhtiari thing has kind of skewed people's perception of the injury because it has taken so abnormally long for him to come back. But there's no reason. We haven't been given any indication that Tunyon's recovery from this injury will take longer than the typical ACL
but
injury.
My guess is he's going to go on PUP.
I think
which
there's
is four, is 4 games.
Now
right?
It's 4.
Yeah.
Correct.
I would take
when
him
was,
after 4.
When it was 6,
yeah.
I would say no, but now that you can come off after 4, I think there's a better chance.
Yeah.
That he ends up on PUP. Other than that, I thought he would just take a 53-man roster spot and be inactive on game day.
As long as at some point in the season he plays, I'll be happy with it.
Man, that's a low bar to clear.
Yeah. It is, but I mean, ACL's still an ACL. That's great. He's doing, you know, stuff on the sideline. It takes a while once you get into the action and you got bodies all around you and, you know, you really haven't done that since the injury. It takes a little while. I like this fight. Don't get me wrong.
He also said in the podcast that he might not be in Green Bay had he not gotten injured. If he had been up for a big contract, it's possible he would have been offered more money somewhere else and would have been tempted to take it.
I wonder if he would have. Or I wonder if they would have paid him.
I don't think they would have.
You don't think so?
No.
Ugh.
Can't pay everybody.
A wise man once told me that. You got to start making decisions at some point.
I agree.
800-990-3776. Get us your ones and twos from the weekend. We talked about Ashton and his food truck debut. That is certainly a one, along with some of the other things that we mentioned. But what do you think? 800-990-3776. Lots to get to this morning on a Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We talked about those Brewers. Are you panicking yet? Let us know. We'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
On Water Street, it says no shoes, no service, and I believe he took his shoes off on Water Street at some point.
An advice of counsel, I am going to plead the fifth.
That is the first time ever you have taken counsel's advice, by the way. Okay, I've been trying to get you to take counsel's advice for months.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Right beside me, saying all the things you've never done. There's not much time and less to say, oh please, just come.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee. Happy Monday, everybody. A little gray and rainy out there this morning, but it is still steamy. It was one of those mornings where, like, I walked downstairs and all of the windows in our house were fogged up. Is that because we have the air conditioning on? And should we explain the...
Mine get fogged up for different reasons, but But it is going to be a luscious week.
Are you trying to tell me that you had a successful fishing expedition?
Successful. Yeah.
Just wish I remembered it. Look at this.
Ashton Homer Rotman. I hope your mother was not listening.
I'm so dehydrated.
You ever beep yourself?
No.
No?
Never have to.
Love that you just expect me to skip right over that.
I need to hear what he said. What'd you say?
You have to listen back to the podcast.
That Wisconsin on Demand or Find
I
It
would
Word
if I knew how to do it.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You're right.
What's happening with your Milwaukee Brewers, everybody? Okay, obviously we talked about last week and the trade deadline, but they were still atop of the division, so nobody was panicking too much. Well, a quick check of the standings this morning, and they are not atop the NL Central anymore. In fact, they are 2 games behind the Cardinals. Now, we talk about this happening. The Cardinals do this thing, guys, where they can put together long streaks of wins. Right now, their last 10, 9-1. Compare that to the Brewers, 4-6. So people are freaking out still. People are still saying that this team has been affected by the Josh Hader trade. I call it baloney. Like, you're professional baseball players. You can't just let something like that affect your psyche, affect your confidence, affect your ability to go out and do your job. Bill Belichick. But Mark Adonazio and David Stearns both, I guess, address the media this weekend, guys. People were talking a lot about them, right? Who they were blaming for the Josh Hader trade, who they were blaming for the fact that the team was underperforming coming out of the trade deadline. Mark Adonazio stepped in front of some microphones this weekend, and here's the first thing that he had to say when asked about the Josh Hader trade and if that was affecting the team's ability to perform.
You know, last several years here, one of the guys Bill got quite attached to was Josh Hader. And we get a call from David Stearns and Matt Arnold saying, there's something we want to do with Josh. And I actually sat down.
So he sat down because he wasn't sure what was going to happen. Let's continue hearing from Mark Adonazio. Ashton, give me the next thing. Because Mark Adonazio made this great point that, again, he knew that people were criticizing him. Here on this show, you guys were saying, this is the owner's issue. If the owner's not willing to open up his pockets and spend money to keep good players, then maybe he shouldn't have the team. Not necessarily the sentiment that was conveyed here, but I definitely have seen that from the fan base over the last week or so. So Mark Adonazio is saying, okay, but early on, I was criticized for one thing. Now y'all are criticizing me for something else. Take a listen.
So, you know, it's interesting. My first many years here, which I think has continued to this day, I was criticized that, you know, I stuck my nose in too much. And so now maybe I'd be criticized for not sticking my nose in enough because, you know, how I feel as a fan and how the fans feel to let Josh go versus guys who need to do their job. They've done a terrific job here. You know, they made a move they wanted to make, and they hope to make other moves. So, you know, I know those guys, well, David anyway, talked to you guys about it. So, you know, I don't think in David's tenure anyway, I don't think I've vetoed anything in either direction that he's wanted to do. So, you know, as an owner, you know, accountability, responsibility, but, you know, now it's hands off and David runs the baseball off show.
Little BP happening there in the background as you can hear the pops. But Chewy, your reaction to Mark Adonazio saying, look, early on, y'all criticized me for sticking my fingers too much in the pie, in the recipe. Now I'm hands off. I'm letting these guys that I've delegated do the jobs that they're supposed to do, and I'm still getting criticized.
I think it's more you look at San Diego's philosophy, and they're willing to go into debt, right? I don't think he is, because I think everyone wanted a bat. I think if they went out and got a bat and traded Hader, people could have swallowed it easier. Because how I look at it is this is one of the better chances from a team standpoint they've had at going all the way.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't feel much different about this team versus last year's team. It's kind of the same stuff. Very similar.
Yeah, relying on the pitching staff to get the job done and hoping that the offense doesn't bleep
it
up.
Yeah, but we all know that he is not going to do what the San Diego Padres do, right?
No, and the Padres are, you know, they're working with, you know, different finances and they make a little bit more money based off their TV deal and things of that nature. And honestly, I think it helps San Diego that the Chargers left town. Like, the fact that the San Diego is the last professional sports team in that city, I think, really helps them in terms of generating revenue.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, but when I listened to the entire Mark Adonazio thing, one, I like that he's hands-off. I think that's what you want in ownership. The best owners are hands-off. The best owners are the ones that turn the sports decisions over to the people who put in charge. That's what Bob Harlan did. Bob Harlan comes in.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not the owner, but he's the, you know, he's the stand-in owner for the Brewer, for the Packers, excuse me. He comes in, "Hey, too many people in this president role have been way too hands-on. I'm hiring Ron. Ron, this is your show. Do what you need to
do." And Ron had turned down the Packers job
previous
because they wouldn't give him power.
Correct.
And he's like, "No, I'm not coming there without power."
So, I think you need to empower those guys to make the baseball decisions that they need to make. So, I 100% agree with that decision. That being said, like, Stearns is still operating within a budget, right? So to me, this is just Stearns making a decision of, hey, I only have X amount of dollars. Could I spend X amount of dollars on Josh Hader? Yeah, I could certainly do that. I have that freedom from my owner. However, we've got a lot of arms in the bullpen. It doesn't make sense to spend.
How does that hamstring us going forward? Correct. How does that hamstring us in other areas? I still think that the owner is the last line of defense, right? Stearns didn't make this decision in a vacuum. As Adonazio said, he obviously went to him and said, we got this thing with Josh, because Mark said, I sat down. Like, oh boy, what's it going to be, right? But at some point, he must have given him the green light. Because if he didn't want them to make the move, I'm sure they presented it to him, right? They gave him a pitch and said, here's why. These are all the reasons why we want to do this. And at the end of the day, he didn't say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do not move our all-star closer. He gives us the best chance to win the World Series. And he did say that that is, of course, the goal in every meeting they have and every time they discuss personnel and finances and whatnot. The goal is to win the World Series. But people thought that the Josh Hader thing was a salary dump. That's the way that it seemed based on what they got back in exchange, based on the money and all of that stuff. And Adonazio Chewy said emphatically it was not. He said that they had financial freedom. He actually went out and said that they had, there was money there to do anything that they would have wanted to do at this trade deadline. He flippantly mentioned Juan Soto.
What?
Said the name Juan Soto. So the Brewers obviously called and asked. They probably just didn't have the prospects to send like the San Diego Padres did, ultimately. And that's the other thing. I think that Stearns was caught off guard by the number of bats that actually were not available. Like the names, you know, the J.D. Martinez's, the Wilson Contreras's, there were a lot of names that that were expected to be moved that ultimately were not moved at the deadline. So I think Stearns quite possibly was willing to take some of what they got in return from Hader and flip it. I think that's what his plan was. Okay, we've got some more. We can flip some of this and maybe get that bat that we're looking for. And none of that materialized.
It just didn't work out.
So he just got caught with his pants down.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Doesn't make us feel any better.
No. And I'm not saying it should make you feel any better.
But if he goes to the team then, because again, this all right now, the frustration is amplified because the team is underperforming. Can he go to the team and be like, look, guys, this is what we were trying to do. We are 1,000,000% all in. Look at this move we were trying to pull off. Now, we didn't get the partners. We didn't have the pieces or whatever it may be. The reason that the second part, plan B or phase two, if you want, fell through. But wouldn't that be enough to reinvigorate the squad? Wouldn't that be enough if, in fact, it is them going, they've given up on us. We're out here busting our humps. They clearly don't think that we've got it. Like, wouldn't that be enough to be like, oh, there was a plan. It just fell through.
Yeah, but...
but they're on the
but
clock,
if though. If you're trying to acquire another player to get you over the hump, then isn't that also kind of saying that...
indicative that, like, this team we don't think we're ready there.
Yeah, this
which
team isn't
which goes back to what
there.
I asked you guys the other day. How delusional do you have to be as an athlete to go out there day in and day out and look around and know where you are, where you stack up talent-wise compared to some of the other teams in the league, maybe even in your own division, and go, nah, man, we got this. We got dogs, you know, to quote the PJ Tucker thing. Like, we got the guys who can get this done, even if in reality you maybe don't. Because again, this is a one-dimensional team right now. We know what its deficiencies are, and they didn't add to what are their deficiencies.
And they're on the clock, too, because eventually these, you know, top-rate pitchers are going to come up for free agency.
Yeah, they've got 2 years.
So,
after this. They've got 2 years after
so
this.
So you can't afford to make mistakes, I think essentially is what I'm saying, because the window is going to close. You know, once some of these pitchers are gone.
But it's... I mean, again, you have to find a dance partner. That's why it's dangerous to have to wait till the trade deadline. That's why it's dangerous to have to wait to the middle of the season to try to make a move, because you might not find that move that puts you over the top. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you find that move. You find that dance partner. You find that player. But there's also the chance that, ooh, we waited too long to try to address this.
So Mark Adonazio took an awful lot of heat last week as people were saying, look, if you can't afford to support a team, if you can't afford to put a team together that can go out there and win, then maybe you shouldn't own a team. And he came back and said, this was not financially driven. There were no financial restrictions. I had nothing to do with the Josh Hader trade. Your reaction to that? Because here it is now. Do you want your sports teams to be, sports owners rather, to be hands-off? Or do you want them to be stepping in and dictating some of these personnel decisions? We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. We'll continue this conversation right after this.
Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza. They've been making great-tasting frozen pizza for 55 years. That includes Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian, Primo Thin, Neighborhood Pizzeria. They have so many different kinds of pizza. They have a type of pizza for every pizza taste. If you're looking for a thin crust, a thick crust, maybe a sweet pizza, they have dessert pizza, they have breakfast pizza. A pizza for everyone with Palermo's. And you can find your favorite Palermo's pizza in the freezer section at your local grocery store. Palermo's. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're looking at 7 and 9. You're looking at 6 and 10. I mean, that's what Aaron went through, right?
Yeah, there's always a transitional period.
Yeah. So let's get a little crazy, but let's not get nuts. That should be a song.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we're just trying too hard, when really it's closer than.
That Mark Adonazio was involved in personnel decisions, maybe decisions that he was out over his skis on early during his time as the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers. But he has a little self-awareness, backed off on that, has now said, nope, I'm going to let the people that I have put in charge, the people I have delegated to hold down those jobs, do their jobs. And now he's being criticized for not stepping in and vetoing the Josh Hader trade. So which is it? What do you want? Is he supposed to hit the sweet spot every time? He's supposed to know when to hold him and fold him, Kenny Rogers?
What I think it is, Jen, is he's got to go into the red or the black, whichever the bad one is, in order to have a serious shot at the World Series.
Aren't you supposed to be like this businessman who's investing money into businesses at this point?
Which is the bad one?
Regular blind?
The red? Ah, a little funny on a Monday, huh?
Okay. He's feeling good. He had the debut of the food truck. He's giving him a little mojo. It's
Am I right, though,
confidence?
That they have to go into the red to have a shot? Is he willing to do that?
Do you think you got it right?
He did.
You did.
You did. But just for funsies, let's just throw him a bone.
Okay. So I won?
No.
What do I get?
Nothing.
But is he right? Like, and not that I'm sitting here saying, oh, it's 7:40. Let's pull out the Chewy was right. But is he right that you do have to go into the red to compete at the professional level? In order to run a team, do you have to be willing to take those chances?
So, yeah. And I think that, but Atanasio has shown that he's willing to do that. I think he's done that in the past. The deal just has to make sense. And I think the Brewers were, you know, he said there are no financial restrictions. I think the Brewers were willing to take on some money. And with what he said, maybe the Brewers make a free agent splash this offseason and add a little bit more salary and add some more payroll. But again, it comes down to finding that right player, finding that right thing that makes sense for you to do at the time.
And I love Anasio. I think he's great, but I think the fear here is they don't want another Herb Cole. And I don't even know what the problem was with Herb Cole. All I know is they're much better now than they were when Herb Cole was running the show.
So part of Herb Cole was he wanted to make the Bucks needed to, and they eventually did bottom out. Right, they just needed that, and he was making moves and sacrificing future stuff to get players like J.J. Redick in here to make sure the Bucks got an 8 seed. The problem in the NBA, if you're the 8 seed, you ain't making the finals. The difference is in baseball. Like, oh, they just want to make the playoffs. They just want to make the playoffs. This is just so boring. I don't like making the playoffs anymore. Like, the problem with baseball is, if you make the postseason, we've seen it. How many examples are there out there of
that you
teams
have a shot?
That once you get in, like, the Brewers had the Nationals on the ropes and should have won that wild card game. Nationals won. Guess what the Nationals went and did? Won the whole bleeping thing that year. Baseball is a little bit different where
it's fluky.
If you get in the postseason, that's what you do. You get in the postseason, you get hot.
But do you like this team? The way it's constructed, do you like the team? I don't, because it's too top heavy. It's like, and I've said it, it's like the Packers having the number one offense and the 18th defense. That's not going to get it done.
Which is fine, but I don't think that it's like the front office is ignorant to that. I don't think that they think like, oh, we're barn busters. We're out here. We're going to knock everybody off, because they obviously wanted to make other moves. That's why everybody keeps saying phase two never happened. They got through phase one, which was trading Josh Hader, bringing back some assets, having the stuff in place, and then phase two never got off the ground. So if you know that there was a phase two, isn't that good enough?
No, right, it's not good enough, because you have to do it. If, like,
the money
Stern's
be
got,
damned.
Stern's got caught with his pants down.
The money be damned. How would have people have felt if they traded Freddie Peralta instead of Josh Hader? Take the money out of it.
Do they get the same exact thing in return?
Yes. Well, they wouldn't need maybe they get a bat. They wouldn't need Rodgers, the reliever.
But you're not getting
would
a bat.
Would there be uproar?
But you're not getting a bat for Josh Hader in the middle of the season. You're just not. That's not how these
what
trades work.
What about Woodruff?
You're not getting a major league ready bat because a team that's going to be making a move,
exactly.
A team like the Padres that is making a move, like they don't want to give up something that's valuable to them right now because they're making a push right now. They're acquiring Hader to boost their chances.
And that was
currently.
We talked about was one of the negatives of expanding the playoffs because now you've got more teams that at the trade deadline think that they're in it and then they go, "What if we rattle off 10 wins? What if this happens? What if, you know what I'm saying? And then we're in it and we gave up the bat that we needed to make the final push."
Yeah, like the Red Sox did a weird thing where they said we're buying and selling at the same time, where they trade for Tommy Pham and they trade away Christian Vasquez, but they don't trade away J.D. Martinez. They don't trade away Xander Bogaerts, who could potentially be a free agent this offseason. Like that's what they decided to do, and they're in last place in their division. So there were a lot less sellers out there than there typically have been, which if you are David Stearns, you now have to realize you can't. You know, I'm going to make this move and that's going to be part of a bigger move. Like, to me, he did not have his ducks in a row. He did not have everything lined up. He
so
was
you're
just
saying there should
hoping.
Have been, you're saying there should have been like contingency plans. There should have been like a contingency clause or like a loophole or a trapdoor, an escape hatch, essentially, that he could have said, hey, listen, this is part of a bigger deal, but if I can't get those ducks in a row, if I can't get that to line up, this is off.
Yeah, he took a risk. He took a risk, and the risk did not pay off for him this time.
800-990-3776. We're asking you on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account how involved you want your owner to be, because Mark Adonasio was saying, look, y'all criticized me for being hands-on early, so now I'm hands-off, and now you're criticizing me for being hands-off. Which is it? What do you want? Gavin and Racine weighing in saying, Adonasio is not supposed to throw his GM under the bus when he is asked directly about this. It's that simple. He made Stearns look bad when all he had to do was divert the question. Chewy, this comes down to ego, though, right? Like, both of these guys have egos, and they want to indicate that, like, when there is fire, and people are saying, what's happening here? Why are we in this situation? They all want to play the Shaggy line, wasn't me.
Well, he writes the checks. He can say whatever he wants, right? I mean, it's like stupid Jerry Jones in Dallas. The training camp hadn't even started, and they're already talking about replacing McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just... I get it, but these guys write the checks, and I don't know. Maybe he's not taking a dagger to the back. I didn't think what he said was so bad, right?
No,
I mean, he's got to defend himself.
I think he's setting the record straight of this is how we operate. This is how I operate. I'm hands off. The baseball decisions come down to my baseball team, and that's led by David Stearns.
Let's take a listen to what else Mark Adonasio said. It was about a 7-minute clip. You can find it on Twitter. I believe MLB writer Adam McAlvey has the whole thing on his Twitter account. If you want to hear how Mark Adonasio addressed questions, responded to inquiries about the situation, but here's what he had to say when asked about whether or not the trade of Josh Hader signals that this team does not think it can make the World Series.
On the surface, trading Josh Hader doesn't square with trying to win a World Series. That's another, I think, common criticism of this deal.
Yeah, I think that you have to ask David about. Maybe you did, or if you didn't, you should. Because I know he also had a series of other trades that he wanted to do that, you know, didn't happen. And you just have to ask him about that.
So it fell apart.
Yep.
But I'm with Jen. There should have been an escape hatch. Like, all right, then we're not moving Hader. If I can't get my guys, then
the deal
we're
is
not
going
to move them.
It seemed like he had grand plans, and the only grand plan that came together was the one for Hader, which is maybe why would make sense as to why then they had to DFA Danielson Lamet, because
he was part of the package.
Well, no, I mean, if they had moved some other pieces, that would have opened up a roster spot for him. And when none of these other trades happened, they were left with a surplus of pitching. And also, it just doesn't look good then when Jake McGee was one of those guys that you were high on, and now you just DFA'd him.
What is more likely? That David Stearns, who has a history of being able to lead this team to the postseason, putting together good enough rosters to get to the playoffs year in and year out now, was incompetent? Or that something fell apart? You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand, Gabe, what you're saying. He was left with his pants down and he should have had a contingency plan, but I'm a little bit surprised that this fan base that has seen the success of his deals year in and year out, seen his ability to put together a playoff contending team, now is all of a sudden like, this guy's a buffoon. You know, I think we're all on the same page here that things fell apart. What is now, I think, the thing that's going to get a lot of eyeballs is this back and forth between him and Adonazio. It does feel a little like there's a hot potato here, and both of them are kind of like quickly whoo, 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 throwing it into the other person's lap.
I just don't care if you were close. I just don't care anymore if you were close. We heard this with the Packers. We heard it with Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, it's down to two teams. It's either OBJ's going to go to the Rams or he's going to go to the Packers. Well, he goes to the Rams. So I don't care if you're close. I just care if you close the deal. So I don't care if you are, we were in talks for Juan Soto. Like, does nothing for me. Because either you get him or you don't. And ultimately, obviously, you didn't. You didn't have the trade package. You didn't do whatever. You didn't go out and get that bat.
You think that's true, though?
Well, I think they called.
For Juan Soto?
I think they called.
You're not doing your job if you don't at least call. Even if you're a GM and you don't think you're actually going to do it, if you're not doing your job if you don't call and say, hey, can we work something out here? What are we thinking?
Do I think that ultimately the Brewers would have paid what it took to get one? No, I don't think they would have. I think that they called, though. I think that they did their due diligence. They tried to figure out if they could put together a package, and ultimately they couldn't put together a package.
You know what they got to do? Win. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Just win.
Exactly.
800-990-3776. Rocky and Sheboygan, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Rocky. Happy Monday, man.
Good morning. I cannot believe the media is letting Mark Antanasio pull an Aaron Rodgers. He told a half-truth. It may not have been about the money this year, but you're darn sure tootin' it was about the money in the future. So for him to say it wasn't about the money is a load of crap.
Yeah, so again, he's is it a half-truth where he's kind of on the tightrope walking a line? Yeah, because the Brewers have, you know, whatever their budget is, it's X amount of dollars. But I don't think that Antanasio tells David Stearns how to spend that money. It's up to David Stearns how he spends the money that he's given in terms of the budget.
But there is a line. Right?
What do you mean?
I mean, he's only letting them spend so much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's going, you have, I don't even know what the Brewers payroll is, like $150 million this year, I think. Whatever the Brewers pay, hey, you've got $150 million. Spend it however you want to spend it. And Stearns decided he didn't want to spend it. $16 million next year for Josh Hader, whatever it would be the year after that as a free agent, as Antanasio kind of hinted at during his press conference that maybe it's the biggest contract a reliever ever gets in baseball history. We don't know what it's going to be. And eventually, that Stearns made the decision, I don't want to pay $16 million for a closer. I don't want to pay $20 million plus dollars for a closer after that for Josh Hader. So I'm going to trade him because I only have X amount of dollars. And if I spend $16 million on a closer, that's going to hamper me if I want to try to improve this offense.
Ashton Sheboygan weighing in saying, this just sets the tone for 2 years from now when we trade away Burns and Woody. It is starting to get frustrating being a Brewers fan. Meanwhile, Papa in Mequon saying, the fans are upset because Hader was perceived as an all-time great and we were left with our pants down. So yes, all kinds of trades get their trades right, but utterly fall with a beloved player. One mistake can do you in. And I assume he's talking about Stearns and Adonazio there, or Stearns, because he pulled off the trade. Interesting to try to parse the blame here for what went down with the Hader trade. Hey, have you guys been to St. Kate the Arts Hotel yet? If you're looking for the perfect place to host a private party, celebrate a birthday, or maybe even that big promotion, you should bring your group to the Dark Room. Every time I talk about the Dark Room, I feel like I need to go into a whisper mode, because it is kind of a secret. It's a secret dining area located inside of St. Kate's. That's right, St. Kate the Arts Hotel has a secret dining area called the Dark Room. And if you're interested, you can go there and enjoy a quiet, swanky setting for an intimate meal with your favorite people. When you book an event at the Dark Room, and this is another cool thing that you don't really know about, you get an opportunity to work directly with the St. Kate's dining team to create a custom menu for the celebration. So if you want to learn more about hosting your next celebration in the Dark Room, just visit stkatearts.com. stkatearts.com, one of my favorite places in all of downtown Milwaukee.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, are you getting any notes of raspberry?
That one makes me want
to vomit.
That one makes
what?
I'm more getting like.
Did he just say notes of raspberry?
I'm a sommelier for peeps. I'm a peeplier.
What was that word again?
Comes out
peeplier
with the peeps menu. Well, here are our options. for your dessert peeps.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The Wisconsin State Fair is underway just outside of Milwaukee. Runs through this Sunday, and we got a chance to go over to the Wisconsin State Fair last night, guys. It was, to use Chewy's word, lush.
People watching? Love
amazing.
The people watching.
Amazing.
I had a mullet.
So I'm trying to like power rank the people that I saw, and I'm not even sure I could do it off the top of my head, but like number one has to be the person on the Rascal with the oxygen tank. Smoking a heater, right?
They have to be smoking a heater.
Has to be number one. Number one, the person on the Rascal with the oxygen tank just burning one.
You know, smoking grits.
I kind of respect that, though, because that's like, I know it's bad, but, you know, who cares at this point?
No, at least I got the oxygen tank. I told you guys
Isn't
that
kind of dangerous, though?
Yes, I mean, Chewy. That's a joke.
Thing blow up? Right?
If there was a leak in the open flame, I think that's probably like.
I'm in it. I don't care.
Chewy was right. Holy. Chewy was right.
He's right. I mean, it is dangerous.
I saw someone wearing a Green Bay Packers jersey.
Okay.
Number 34.
Well, Edgar.
Yeah. That is Edgar.
With Greek Freak on the nameplate.
All right, so you got a Bucks and a Packers fan.
Well, so I will say this. Chase said, well, that's efficiency, Mom. That's called multitasking. You're supporting your Bucks and your Brewers.
Yeah, you can wear that jersey to either game.
I don't know. It's a little.
You absolutely cannot, Gabe.
I'm not sure if I had seen that anywhere other than State Fair, I would have been able to understand it. But since it was at State Fair, I was like, oh, this makes sense.
So what was on the menu?
We had surf and turf sliders. We had the brat tater tot corn dog. It was a corn dog, so it was a skewer.
Yep.
That had pieces of brat and corn tater tots on it, and then they deep fried it like a corn dog.
So it's like a brat kebab, but a corn dog.
Yeah, all
corn
those
dogs,
things.
Jackie. Corn dogs.
All those things. Kids had some ice cream. Kids had some snow cones. Kids had a lot of sugar. At the end of the day, we left and we're like, "Did the kids eat? Well, we better grab a couple hot dogs on the way out because everything they had was pure sugar." But we did go on the Ferris wheel. We hadn't been on the Ferris wheel in quite a while. I think the last time we were on a Ferris wheel was when we were in Seattle several years ago. I think Layla was just born. She's four now, There was an experience as we were getting off of the Ferris wheel, guys, that really threw me for a loop, okay? We're getting off the Ferris wheel, and the announcer, okay, not a person, but like the canned announcement voice that says the same thing every time a family is getting off of the Ferris wheel says this: please watch your step as you exit the gondola.
Nope.
The what?
The gondola.
That's all right.
What do you mean that's all right?
What do you call it, gondola?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
It's what it is.
Gondola?
I'm pretty sure.
Gondola.
Like, to the point where I stopped and thought it was a joke, right? And then I was like, no, it's the announcement. It's on a tape. It's on a reel. It's playing over and over again.
What year do you think it
is? Please watch your step. Please watch your step as you exit the gondola.
Well, how do you think they say it up in northern Wisconsin?
It doesn't matter how they say it up there.
Well, there's definitely a longer O.
Yeah. All that matters is there's a correct way. And an incorrect way.
They put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, Chew.
Yeah, but the gondola, that's kind of that's refrigerator, right?
Just
getting it out as fast as you can.
Just because Jen says refrigerator wrong doesn't mean it's okay that the person reading the announcement was you
but
step
also,
off
how
the
is
gondola.
It faster? It's the same number of syllables, okay? Wait,
well, how do you say it?
A gondola?
A gondola. For sure, it's gondola.
That's, I don't know.
Everyone says gondola.
That's how it's supposed to be said. I looked it up.
I was shocked that the Ferris wheel, which should be an authority on how you say the name of the cars that you're going around and around in on the Ferris wheel, said gondola.
Is it a gondola?
Gondola.
Yeah.
Internet.
Is it a gondola?
Gondola.
What makes it a gondola?
Gondola.
That lady!
No. I'm saying gondola. The actual... Is it because it's enclosed?
Here, I'll do it slower for you.
Gondola.
No, he's moved up.
He's moved off the pronunciation. Now he wants to know the etymology.
So
why?
I have never been on the Ferris wheel and I've never seen it.
You're too big for a Ferris
wheel. Is it a pod? Because
well,
that's what a gondola is.
There were some people who were really testing that theory last night, Gabe. I'm going to be real honest with you.
Well, Ferris wheels suck.
Gondolas are awesome.
What do you mean Ferris wheels suck?
I feel like that's pretty straightforward there. Ferris wheels suck.
They're
terrible.
Yeah,
what's good about a Ferris wheel?
What if they had booze in it?
What?
Well, now we're talking.
Yeah, well, Vegas, the one that's an hour to go all the way around.
No,
it, and there's a full bar in it.
I don't want to do that.
You're an hour? Boring. You know what? You're going for a bachelor party in Tennessee this weekend. Yeah. I would not want to go with you.
Ashton's a good time.
Oh, a great time.
But when he complains, does he just complain incessantly?
No.
No.
What are you talking? I'm a, Gabe and I, wow.
I did not hear one complaint come out of Ashton's mouth while we were at the wedding on Friday.
He just said he cramped. He was laying on the floor. He couldn't move.
Okay, that was after being dehydrated on Saturday for something else.
Yeah. He had those complaints in the privacy of his own apartment to himself.
Right. And did I go out drinking again Saturday night?
I can't believe you all took this bait, hook, line, and sinker. He's just trying to distract us from the fact that he thinks gondola is okay.
Suck it!
Gondola.